In our breakout and best-selling book, Looking for Angels, A Guide to Understanding and Connecting with Angels, Dr. Scott Guerin and I share how you can communicate with angels, understand signs from the universe and these celestial beings, feel at peace knowing you are always connected to Source, and much more. Get your copy today at lookingforangelsbook.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. And now you can even get the audio version narrated by me and Scott through Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. You are listening to A Psychic Story, a podcast that shares behind-the-scenes insights of people who lead supernatural lives among the ordinary. And I'm your host, Nicole Bigley. Join me every Wednesday as I dispel the myths behind magic and lore. Welcome to A Psychic Story. Mysticism. Our guest today is an international best-selling author of The Sophia Code, a celebrated divine feminine teacher, and the oracle for the Sophia Dragon Tribe. As she claims in the preface of her book, her early life was consumed by surviving child trafficking, psychic exploitation, and multiple near-death experiences. Through it, she was initiated by the ascended masters and archangels since childhood for downloading ascension blueprints. She currently leads a modern-day mystery school and international movement and founded the Sophia Code Foundation Ministry for activating the sovereign divinity of humanity. This is the story of Kaya Ra. Welcome to A Psychic Story, Kaya.
Hi, Nicole. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
I am thrilled you're here. I was just before we hit record, I was telling her, guys, I first of all got your book. I downloaded it via audio and I do a lot of work trips in my full-time job. And I stopped in my tracks when I got to the dragon section. I was just like, what? So we're going to definitely talk about that later. But before we really dive in, I guess maybe first, if you can share about your journey. I mean, it's been massive from your childhood up until now. Start there if you don't mind.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, it's a pretty long story. It's one that I'm actually writing into a novel right now. But the summary of it was I was born into a program that was seeking out genetics for psychically gifted children that they could exploit. And so my psychic training began at the very beginning of my life. And so ironically, my gifts are a big part of what I believe saved me, because I should definitely be dead, given the extreme torture and atrocities that I survived and witnessed. And it was really my connection with the higher realms that brought any sense of order and sanity into the constant chaos that I was surviving. I was in very high-end programs, three-letter agency programs. So a lot of it was very hidden. It was both civilian and military. It was quite an extensive front. And I had the ability to perform at a very high level. And those were the kind of children they were breeding and grooming for these kind of programs. So yeah, it was quite a journey to survive. And there were many times where I didn't know how I was ever going to get through it. And then in December of 2009, I share about in the preface of the Sophia Code, I had already been, fast forward to my adulthood, I managed to stay alive. I managed to start to build out a life, get a work full time, get a college degree. It took a lot of extraction from some of the mind control programs. But over time, as I raised my frequency higher and higher and stayed in connection with my spiritual guidance, I managed to extract myself enough to really start to build my own life. And in that process, I realized that these psychic gifts could be used to help others as they were helping me. And so as I stabilized enough of my financial reality, my physical reality, which I'm still healing my body from what I survived. But I sought out teachers across the country. I was very driven. I made enough money to start taking classes and courses. And over time, I opened up a private practice at a yoga studio, hands-on healing. It was like a combination of giving people psychic readings while doing hands-on healing, and miracles were happening. And this was back in Boston, like 20 years ago, when, you know, being psychic was something you don't say out loud. and people didn't know what a chakra was, or even, you know, going to yoga. You might have been part of a cult if you did yoga. I mean, this is like back in the day. And I found this extraordinary yoga studio, opened a private practice. And to my amazement, Spirit started sending doctors and lawyers and all these people who were secretly stuffing my pockets with cold cash. I mean, lots of cash, because their lives were changing. The hands-on healing work, the psychic readings were blowing them out of the water and completely changing their lives. I was grateful for the abundance. It was just a little side gig that I was doing on the weekends outside of my corporate job. But over time, I realized, oh my God, I think this is my calling. I think I need to be doing this full time. So, you know, had very humble beginnings with my little yoga studio office, practicing psychic development and offering psychic healing services. And that's where I began.
Wow. That's just so fascinating. I have so many questions about all of that. But I guess the first thing that really stands out to me is when you were talking about your connection to, I guess, source. You didn't use the word yet, Sophia, but that helped you through the survival. And then also it sounds like just taking you through those steps to get to where you are now, whether it was through opening the yoga studio and everything else. And really what I also heard was diving into your psychic abilities and realizing that that was a gift to be in service. So can you share a little bit more about that before we get then to the book and how that came to be?
Yeah, well, I experienced so many near-death experiences that I had this psychic pathway back to source. That I would travel on again and again throughout the abuse. You know, the first half of my life was spent mostly in the spirit world, barely in a body. So I really got to know both the dark and the light of the spirit world. And also I got to see where, you know, I mean, I was watching so many people die that were murdered, and watching where their souls would try to go into the light, or where they would, the souls would actually end up coming back and getting trapped in this world. It really showed me again and again where to go when I had to leave my body to survive. And I would always eventually, you know, always there would be someone there waiting, like Jesus or Mother Mary or the spirit of my, you know, the soul of my real birth mother, the angels. I was raised in a lot of Christian dogma that was masking a satanic cult. So a lot of what I was seeing, I would often, just in my little childlike mind, classify it through a Christian context. You know, as I grew older, I was able to understand that some of these beings of light that were supporting me were not per se from Christian doctrine. They were from other world religions that were a part of my healing team, part of my guidance team. And so it was really through my near-death experiences that I understood that source is the source. And I kept getting sent back from the source because I had a mission to serve. And later in life, as I met the Sophia Dragon Tribe, I realized, they showed me, like, you need to write this codex, the sacred text from the source. And that's exactly where I would spend my time downloading it from. Directly from the source, not from any lower level plane of reality. And because of that, I got to experience that we can heal anything from the source. Like when we pull from that divine light energy that created our souls, when we allow that energy to fill those places that we don't think could ever heal, those wounds, or to activate our psychic gifts or our spiritual technology of our body, that source light is what is activating the body, the gifts, the healing. And all of our spiritual guides that we can psychically see or sense or feel or hear, if they're high-level guides, they're there to be in sovereignty with you. They're there to be your witnesses, a support structure, a mirror of your divinity. They're not there to suck off of you or get anything out of it other than your empowerment. And so I think that's a really important thing for people who are interested in psychic development, is like, there are so many different guides that you can call on, but the number one guidance that you should always call on is your source and your higher self, which is always in communion with your source.
Yes, all of that. And that's one of the things, you said that beautifully, is that when I tap in to my own higher self, that's the first thing also that I feel led to, is that part of yourself that is source and connected to source and all of that. But also I hear from my spirit team, we're here to assist and help, not necessarily be the one thing that you're constantly turning to and towards. And so I would love to also talk about Sophia. So Sophia to you is what I interpreted in the book, God, and what you term God or source, but I don't want to put words in your mouth. So if you can please explain a little bit of who and what is Sophia to you.
Yeah, thank you, Nicole. As I share in the preface of the Sophia Code, I was living on the side of Mount Shasta when I had one of like the highest oracular experiences that you can have as a psychic, which is there was no medicine involved. There was nothing influencing this experience whatsoever. And I was channeling, I was writing, and the physical reality around me disappeared completely. I watched it turn into its atomic structure, and then I was sitting in the light, and the light spoke, and it smelled like lightning, and the voice boomed like thunder. The light was blinding. I was like, wow, this is so much like an NDE, but like on steroids. What is happening? And I hear this voice, and it was Sophia. She said, I am Sophia, the one divine mother creatrix of all life. Are you listening to me? And it was just thunderously loud. It was so unbearable. And I never connected with the name Sophia. And I hadn't studied any Gnostic Christianity. Like, I was kind of very anti-Christian at that point, like not in the Satanist direction. It just wasn't like, I was like, send me over to Buddhism. I'm down with Buddha right now, you know? Or I was also in the Native American church. I had a life to heal around that doctrine and what was done to me in the name of Jesus. And so what I said, are you like the Greek goddess of wisdom? And she was like, no, I am Sophia, the one divine mother creatrix of all life. Are you listening to me? And I was like, I am all yours, but you've got to turn down the lights and you got to turn down the volume because this is unbearable. And what I experienced was the light of what we call creator or creatrix, the source. But I believe when you have a direct experience with source, it comes and speaks to you based on the voice that you need to hear. Like, it doesn't, in the Sophia Code, Sophia shares, she's like, you know, I am all names of God. Like, I am what people have been praying to for forever. But this name, Sophia, happens to be a name that's going to deeply activate humanity and heal our wounds around religious doctrine, dogma, and abuse that like billions of people are suffering from. Like, to call on the name of God is so religious in nature for most human beings, they just don't. But that's exactly what you should be calling upon every day, is your source. And so what the Sophia Code offers us is this incredibly healing conversation with the principles of source consciousness that speak as the divine mother. Are there principles of source consciousness that speak as the divine father? Absolutely. But that was what I needed for my healing. I was so wounded from the trafficking. I was so wounded by the masculine that I needed mother. I needed divine mother voice coming to me from that source. And it changed my life. It absolutely changed my life to now I don't have a problem with the word God, but calling God Sophia for years was so helpful. And it really helps me connect with the voice of source that speaks in that gentle tone and also that thunderous tone, that extremely confident tone of God source connection that I can take refuge in again and again. Does that help explain it?
Oh, it absolutely does, especially in your own words, because there are certain words and terms I try to gravitate away from and not use on the podcast, God, Jesus, certain things, because people are triggered, or to your point, it also has sometimes a religious connotation, when in reality, at least from my experience, it's more about the essence, the energy behind it, but that has been exploited over centuries, and gives us this paradigm of what is an actual reality over generations and generations and cultures. So that's why I loved how you said the Sophia, or used it and came through to you in that way for the healing. And so thank you for sharing that. Now, we used a lot of terms too, like codes and all of that. And in your book, you talk about sovereign genomes and key codes and blueprints. For people that may not be familiar with that terminology or what that means, as you were channeling or having this information come through to you from Sophia, what does all of that mean? And I know that might take some time to explain it, but take as much time as you need.
There are two movies that come to mind that might be able to help bridge this conversation a little bit: The Matrix, and actually the most recent version of Dune. The second movie for Dune is coming up in March. And so what is revealed in Dune? Well, genetics are the religion of most species in the multiverse. It's how species explore their power, explore their creativity, and they're searching for their divinity through both the freedom of genetics as well as the enslavement and of genetics. And so that's one factor right there to just kind of like prep up for this conversation. And then I think The Matrix told on itself so powerfully in the Matrix that was released almost 20 years ago. Those movies are so relevant to what's happening in the awakening of humanity right now. It's just like we're realizing that we're living in a slave matrix, and that it's a lot of ones and zeros. Like pretty much everything, even about organic biology, it's all numbers. And we have the perception to take those numbers and those codes and have an experience of physical reality. And so when you understand that physical reality, which all the great spiritual masters teach across time, is like, don't be fooled by the illusion of form. Like emptiness is within form. Form is emptiness. It's quite pliable to your thoughts. I mean, all of the spiritual manifestation teachings of the New Age movement are, you know, point to this, that like, your thoughts have energy that changes, that can change form and manifest form into your reality. As a person recovering from the slavery, the actual slavery in this matrix, when the Sophia Dragon Tribe came to me, what they showed me is that slavery is programming, is encoded into the genetics of humanity. And we're all familiar with that on some level. Maybe you're struggling with like your ancestry and some of the belief systems of your grandmother or your great grandparents, and don't even realize how it's influencing your beliefs about success, right? We could take that, you know, a quantum leap further and just say like the trauma of humanity is stored in our DNA, like viral codes. And when Sophia came to me and the Sophia Dragon Tribe asked me to write the Sophia code, what they said was there is a sovereignty code that is innate to every soul, because how could God, how could the source create more of itself, right? We are all made in the image and likeness of that which has created us. How could we have a soul that isn't sovereign? It's not actually possible. We're so sovereign, our souls are so sovereign that we can actually, you know, airdrop down and incarnate into a planetary matrix, you know, that's currently conditioned into slavery, and even experience slavery and still be sovereign. And my personal journey of recovery and following these teachings of the Sophia Dragon Tribe showed me that what they were teaching me was actually real, because it was changing my body. It was changing my journey of healing. And so, you know, they said, when Sophia gives birth to your soul, it is sovereign and divine, and that can never change. It's invincible. And when you incarnate into form, your soul, right, becomes a physical body. It manifests a physical body. So why wouldn't it manifest as well some aspect of your sovereign divinity for you to interface with? So you could think about all the qualities that source, whatever you call sources, God, your higher self, divinity, whatever word works for you, there are perfect qualities of divine consciousness that manifest in every cell of your body on what we call the divine genome. It's a motherboard of divinity that exists within every cell of your body. And I remember in this, when the Ascended Master started showing this to me, I was like, come on, guys, no way. I can't tell the world this. There's no way.
People are going to think I'm bananas.
Yeah, totally. Completely bananas. And they're like, oh, well, you think that's bananas? How about that you can actually activate it and get it up and running like an operating system, because that's what we're really asking you to share with humanity. And I thought, well, let's go on a journey and see what happens. And so they gave me the series of initiations that you find in section 2 of the Sophia Code. There's 8 of them. And these 8 initiations, when you read them out loud, and you can listen to it out loud to get your consciousness ready for the initiation, but it's really important that you read them out loud from beginning to end for yourself. Why? Because what the Ascended Masters and Sophia are teaching you is that the power of your own voice activates the divine genome within you.
It's like your password.
Yes, that's such a great way to put it. Absolutely. And so these initiations, what they do is they flip on the light switches of the divine. Well, the divine genome is already, it's already a done deal. But what it does is it signals to the divine genome, it's time to activate the bridges of light from the divine genome to the biological DNA. And so what happens is your consciousness, your higher self, is given permission to start literally turning on these divine codes within every cell of your body. And that is the beginning of the process of genuine life-changing spiritual awakening. And it's just the beginning, because then you have to learn how to live with that much light blinging inside of you and changing you literally emotionally, physically, psychologically. Because what the Sophia Code shares is that it not only is the divine genome motherboard, but once your higher self is invoked through these initiations and you signal to your higher self, hey, time to flip on this motherboard and get my biological DNA upgraded by the divine genome, your higher self starts to download and anchor more of your soul's light, which is your higher self, can actually anchor inside the divine genome. So you start this downloading process of your own soul's light coming more into this world. And the more light you anchor into your divine genome and you learn how to integrate into your daily life, You're completely changing your life. You're learning how to live at a higher and higher and higher resonance, because there's nothing higher than divinity. And you go through this whole process of having to forgive yourself for all the ways that you didn't love yourself and all the things that happened to you and the trauma, so that you can truly embrace the creative genius of your own divinity attempting to create through you. So there's this whole ego surrendering process that you go through when you allow this much of your soul's light to operate you. Your ego is no longer in control. Your higher self is driving the car or manning the ship. And your higher self is quantum. Your higher self is not landlocked into a linear timeline. So your higher self will start guiding you to make quantum decisions that does not make sense to a linear mindset. But those quantum decisions are the most accelerated path for you to experience greater levels of success, more progress in your divine purpose. It'll accelerate your psychic gifts to grow and blossom. And it will help you accept greater levels of abundance in your life, because you're no longer thinking like a slave. You're no longer thinking according to what the matrix wants you to believe you're worthy of, which is not much. You're starting to think thoughts from your higher self. Well, your higher self is like, you are worth everything because you are the light of God here on earth in your human experience. It's such a game changer that we actually, Isis, who's one of the Ascended Masters of the Sophia Code, asked me to birth a mystery school because people were just glitching so hard from the amount of activation that was happening from activating their divine genome and what it was, you know, the changes that were happening in their lives. So we've birthed an entire mystery school of curriculums. It's really an academy of curriculums for how to live through the consciousness of your higher self, of your divinity. the body, the chakra systems, the etheric light bodies, the spiritual light bodies, the divine genome, all of these things work together. I think it's amazing that Sophia Code came 7 years before Pluto moved into Aquarius, because Aquarius is all about the merger of technology with spirituality. So we're right on time. And I think the more we start to embrace this divine technology, the more empowered we're going to feel that we truly, and I mean truly, we're designed with everything we need inside of ourselves. You know, I used to hear that from like spiritual teachers, and I'd be like, oh, just shut up already. Like,
what
do you mean? I got to
exactly.
go to
Exactly. What do you mean? Exactly.
Everything's inside of me. Like, I'm in so much
Go
pain.
Inward.
Like,
go
my
inward.
Life's a mess. Yeah, keep going inward. Well, I was in so much pain from what I survived that I had to go all the way in, and that led me to discover the divine genome. And it saved, I went through so much personally to actually integrate it enough to share about it, because I mean, I was suffering from the darkest of trauma. So that light was so painful coming into my personal darkness. It took me a couple of years to stabilize, to even talk about it. And then once I had, you know, really integrated enough to start sharing about it, I just had to surrender to the fact that many people were going to think I was crazy. And then there were going to be many people that were just going to know in their hearts that this is what they had been looking for their whole lives. And about last year, I was actually speaking to a geneticist who had worked with some three-letter agencies that will not be named. They were trying to recruit him for his brilliant mind. And he was sharing that everyone in the kind of elite science community knows that light is emitted from our genes, from our DNA. And, you know, he was like, how did you know that you could build bridges of light 10 years ago? Who told you that? I said, God told me that. Sophia told me that. But, you know, I had to sit with no one backing me up. Not that I've ever asked this person to publicly back me up. It was a private conversation. It was like, when you are psychically gifted, you know, you're going to have to say things to your clients that people are not going to understand, and they might not even make sense for a year, for 5 years. I've had multiple clients tell me, man, I thought you were crazy, but you told me things that came true 10 years later. That's the journey that we're all on with a psychic story. We're on the journey of believing in ourselves, trusting our gifts. If it checks out with your, you know, belief with God and or whatever you call God, source, your higher self, learn how to stand in your truth, because you are a lighthouse for truth for others when you're willing to honor your intuition like that. And it, you know, I had to learn how to love myself, carrying this information to the world, people calling me crazy, and then to receive that. When I finally received the confirmation of like, oh yeah, we all know that there's light literally being emitted from the DNA that you could actually use in this way. By the time that happened, like, of course I was relieved and ecstatic, but it didn't matter. Hundreds of thousands of people had already read the Sophia Code. And I just challenge anyone with your psychic gifts to choose to live with that kind of courage, because you're going to find out how deeply you can love yourself in that journey of trusting your own guidance.
I do want to say that what really resonated with me when reading your book, because there was something that, you know, you hear from sometimes you go to healers or like you said, other teachers out there, activate the codes, light codes, key codes, all of that. And you don't really know all the time what it means unless you're experiencing it, or it maybe may come to you psychically or whatever. But what resonated with me was the way you were able to connect the dots and put those pieces of the puzzle together. One of the things about 2 years ago that started to come to me through my guides and angels were, they said, we have our physical DNA, our human DNA, and then we have our spiritual DNA. And they would show me the helix code and how all of that started to work. And they just said, you don't have to worry about what it exactly it is, other than it's the bridge. That light is the bridge that is connecting the DNA and the spiritual resonance, that essence of who we are and how we're connected to Creator. And I thought, wow, that's really powerful. What does it mean? What does it mean? I didn't have all the answers just yet. So your book fell in my lap in the right time, because I felt like it was filling in that piece, that gap that I wasn't quite understanding. So thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that when we ask to be shown, the universe will reveal our next steps. And there was one other thing I wanted to share about that. When you have a divine genome within your human body, and you're walking around inside a slave program matrix simulation, this is how you liberate yourself from that simulation, from those viral programs. Because what happens is once the divine genome is activated and operating and functioning and integrated within you, you start to access life experiences, opportunities, and you start to experience a level of spiritual protection that goes so far beyond the control of this matrix. And I really wanted to finish with that point that I didn't end up finished. I didn't share. And I feel like that's so important for people to understand. Like, your divinity is not capable of being enslaved or changed or touched by the abuses of this world. And it's there to empower you no matter what you survived. It has the power to heal you and unplug you from these nefarious energies on the planet that would seek to disempower you. And yeah, the Sophia Code provides that roadmap. And what I love about it is actually code. Like, when I was in college, I was studying how to hard code before I ever knew I was going to be doing this. I actually studied computer programming. And so those initiations are written through, the mind of computer programming based on the downloads of the Ascended Masters for how to actually flip on the encoded switches of the divine genome. And yet it's just like, well, how does it happen? Like what you are sharing, Nicole, and it's like, there is a space for faith here. We have to trust that divine intelligence that created all that is giving us enough here to know that the process is happening and to feel the process happening in our life as we walk through these initiations.
One of the things I guess I wanted to dive into as well is the dragons, because you said the Sophia Dragon Tribe. Who is the tribe? What and who are the dragons? How is that all made up in terms, or what does it consist of, rather?
Yeah, so in that experience that I write about in the preface of the Sophia Code, when I first meet the Sophia Dragon Tribe, Sophia, when she sort of started to dim the lights of a little bit, there was more white and gold energy instead of this blinding white light. And out of that white and gold energy, thousands of Ascended Masters and Star Nation beings started to appear. I saw these unbelievably magnificent white dragons that were spiraling in the center of this sanctuary, I don't know, temple that was forming in front of me. And I'd never seen anything like it. They were so huge. It was beyond any concept of an earthly dragon. And they were sing like their scales were singing and they were crying tears of joy. Like, every scale had an eye in it that was crying tears of joy, and they had like hundreds of angel white wings that were like whirling in and out of their body. And I was like, these are angels? And I was told that they were the holiest seraphim of the Divine Mother, and that they were a part of, they were an original creator species that was a part of assisting Divine Mother with giving birth to all of creation, and that they were always singing in ecstasy and in the bliss and gratitude of being in service to Divine Mother. And I was so taken aback by all of it. I mean, there were many Ascended Masters that I recognized, but there were so many faces that I did not recognize. And what they shared with me was that when I would channel the Sophia Code, their collective voice would act as what they told me would be a living transmission. Now, the word transmission goes back into, ancient times where a guru would transmit a divine energy, a divine download to their disciples, and it would literally radically quantum leap a disciple into next level healing or enlightenment, or just miracles would happen through a transmission. And they said, we're going to speak as one voice, all of us, the dragons, Sophia, the ascended masters, all these angelic orders, these star nations, because we're all serving as one high council, this message of Sophia. And we want you to write down this love letter that Sophia wants to impart to humanity that will return humanity back to the truth of their sovereign divinity, not just a message, but the actual technology to do it. And I was so blown away. I could barely speak. And I was like, I'm willing. I say yes, but don't call me. I'll call you. I'm not ready, because the vibration was so high. And I was still so in the process of my healing from trauma to actually become a function beyond the trauma that I couldn't believe they invited me to the project. I was so broken at that time in my life. And yet it was the journey of channeling them as one voice that was, what healed my body and my mind and returned me to the truth of my wholeness, the truth of my sovereign divinity. And so the Sophia Dragon Tribe, when they speak as one voice, that is Kiko 333, and they're all unified together. And then what they showed me was that when an individual of the tribe steps forward, an individual will have a unique key code number for us to identify that, like, okay, these are the qualities, these are the divine qualities that are being, transmitted to activate those same divine qualities within me, within my divine genome, within my daily practice, within my higher self embodiment. So Hathor is key code 2 of the Sophia code. Green Tara is key code 3. Mother Mary is key code 4, and so on. Sophia is key code 0 because, the source is the 0 point. And the dragons are key code 777. So they are these extraordinary seraphim angelic order that occasionally touch into planetary matrices and materialize into form like they did in Shambhala on this planet. But it's very rare that they'll actually physically touch into form. And so we're really blessed that they wanted to speak at this time of awakening on the planet, and that they're so interested in helping us liberate ourselves and to return back to our sovereignty. They're not earth-based dragons. They are celestial dragon mothers that serve the divine mother. They are an angelic order and the highest crystalline resonance that you could experience of an angelic dragon combination of energies.
Yeah, that was the first time I'd ever heard of celestial dragons. Obviously, the seraphim, some people are familiar with them if you're into angels and the hierarchy and how they work. But so that's why it stopped me in my tracks with the dragons, because it just, also the way you described it with the eyes on the scales, and each scale was an eye and the tearing, I could just visually see it in my mind's eye. It was overwhelmingly beautiful.
Yeah, it was an interesting. I was in England and I was guided to go to a bookstore, and a book sort of landed in my lap when I was really contemplating presenting the Sophia Dragons to the world. I'm like, man, people are just not going to understand this. Am I doing the right thing by doing this? I had a lot of pressure on me to not write the Sophia Dragons chapter from some close people in my life at that time. And the book was about Kabbalah. And I turned to this page. I was just guided to turn to this page about the angelic orders. And there it was. Seraphim literally translates to the fiery creatures of God.
That was your sign.
Yeah. She was like, please trust, please trust, please trust. Yeah.
I have a personal question, actually. So when I was just starting out with my Reiki and I was becoming a Reiki master, the person who was attuning me kind of took a step back and she's like, you have this dragon around you, which was the first time I had heard it. I had heard it from somebody else, but I knew in my heart I had this dragon on my spirit team. And I know it's not the seraphim, it's not the celestial dragon part, but if somebody does have a dragon on their spirit team, what does that mean to you, if you have any insight?
Ooh, you got a big purpose. You have a heart of leadership and you're here to trust your past lifetimes in the magical arts. Dragons teach us how to use the quantum magic of the universe with a responsibility for the highest and best good of all, and how to allow ourselves to benefit from our own magic. It also signifies mastery of, it depends on the kind of dragon, but really all dragons on some level are associated with prosperity. And I think there's some myth, there's a lot of myths in the spiritual world that somehow spirituality, creativity, and prosperity are not allowed to live in the same home. And the truth is they're all synonymous with each other. Like, God doesn't lack for anything. The source creates all that is. And for us to say that spirituality and prosperity are not coherent together is just us, you know, disempowering ourselves, just like the Matrix would have us do. And so dragons really help us step into our power. They help us own our angelic mission, our divine purpose. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever, did you ever read the book Sephira about the dragon riders? Oh my God, it's such a great book. There's a scene where Sephira manifests this beautiful temple space for someone, like a mausoleum for someone who passes away on this adventure. And it's so beautiful and it's so exquisite. And her dragon rider, Aragorn, turns to her and he's like, how did you do this? She's like, I don't know. It just, magic just pours out of me. And that's what a dragon guide teaches us, is we don't have to understand how powerful and magical your magic can be. You can just own it and enjoy it and embody it and share it with the world and be surprised by it. You can be surprised by yourself. And when a dragon guide is, you know, showing up, they're daring you to be surprised by how big you are and to take up a lot more space. Because if you take up more space, you know, that's casting a much bigger vote here on the earth plane in this matrix for the light to win. A lot of light workers are afraid to take up space, but that's why we don't feel like we're winning right now. We need to be taking up way more space with our voice, our success, our empowerment, and our joy.
Thank you. I think so many people needed to hear that. You know, about if we're not here to play small. If we came here to play small, I mean, game over. Whether you're a light worker or you don't consider yourself a light worker, but you want to be in service, whether it's to yourself or others in a community, we're not here to play small.
No, and actually the Sophia Dragons speak about that relentlessly in their chapter in the Sophia Code. Like, they are here to empower our sovereign divinity. So in to such an extent that we are willing to heal up the trauma of the ages within ourselves so we can get on to the incredible joy and miracles of what it means to be a sovereign creator. What does it mean to manifest with such magic, miracles, and power that you could birth an entirely new sovereign paradigm on the planet? I mean, this is what they're daring us into. And I wouldn't want to be mentored by anything less than that, because we're at a pivotal point in human history. Like, this is absolutely pivotal for future generations. I think a lot of light workers know that somewhere inside of themselves. And, you know, I feel like the overwhelm, it can feel intimidating. Well, what can one person do? But there's an atomic power within you that is your divine light, and it can do so much when you don't try to limit yourself from accessing it.
That's that ripple effect.
Yes, yes. And the Sophia Dragons just help you overcome obstacles and resistances that felt simply impossible to overcome prior to meeting them.
I just want to be mindful of your time. I could talk to you forever, I feel like. But if anyone wants to obviously learn more, reach out to Kaya. You can get her book, The Sophia Code. And before we break, I just wanted to ask you, was there anything that we didn't get to that you wanted to share or cover?
Well, I would like to share that, you know, a big part of the Sophia Code is what we call oracular activism. And I know that you have, you know, so many listeners that are questioning their gifts and, you know, maybe why they were given these gifts, because it might make them feel like the black sheep, or people can't lie to us when we have our psychic gifts activated. And so that can feel intimidating, because we can't go along with the narrative. We can't say something is okay codependently when it's not. Like, it there's like a a lie detector system that's on all the time. And so that makes you very different. And yet those are the very gifts that can help us birth this new sovereign paradigm, help us turn the tide of humanity's awakening, help us heal the grief of the ages. It's through our intuitive psychic gifts that we can genuinely address the critical issues that we're facing from a truly heart-centered, source-oriented solution space. We don't have to make anything up. When your psychic gifts are honored, when you bless them, when you allow them to blossom, you have the ability to download the solutions and share them with the world in a way that, you know, could change history. Like just Sophia Code changed history. There were so many times that I could have ran away from it, but I didn't. Like, I'm so grateful to be able to say, like, please keep following your heart. You can find us at kaira.com, which is my first and last name, kaiara.com. And yeah, I'm just really grateful to have this conversation with you, Nicole. It's a conversation, psychic, anything is a conversation close to my heart. So it's really fun to be able to just have this time together. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. All episodes are free on your favorite podcast player or at apsychicstory.com. Have a question? Is there a topic you'd like to hear more about? Or have a suggestion for a future guest? Send an email to contact@apsychicstory.com or leave a voicemail message at 1-800-880-1881. We'd love to hear from you, and you may even be featured on a future episode. If you're interested in booking a session with me, you can do that directly on the website. And if you want to hear even more content hosted by yours truly, check out my other show, Supernatural Matters. Reminder that you are automatically entered to win either a free 20-minute intuitive or energy healing session with me if you leave 5 stars along with a positive review. Currently, reviews can be left on Apple, Stitcher, Podchaser, or CastBox podcast players. Don't forget to email contact@apsychicstory.com when you do, because it allows me to get in touch with you if your name is pulled in the drawing. Your name stays in until you win.